This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be focusing on the Murfreesboro City Schools. A lot of great things happening with our schools, and of course a brand new school year just beginning. The director of the Murfreesboro City Schools is with us this morning, Dr. Linda Gilbert. Good morning, Linda. How are you today?
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. I always look forward to this.
And you brought a guru with you today.
Well, he's called a lot of things. This morning he be called a guru. I have with me Gary Anderson, who is head of all of our support service. His title is the director of administrative, and I don't know, what is your title, Gary?
Finance and Administrative Services Director.
Thank you.
Guru sounds good to me.
Well, yeah.
That means he does everything well.
Well, I don't know that I'd go that far. But certainly he is very capable of doing what he does and does it extremely well. You're right. I'll have to be nice to him this morning on the radio. But he really is in charge of all services except for personnel. Excuse me, and instruction. So this time of year, he's extremely busy, and with the plans that we have on board for expanding our district because of our numbers, which are just unbelievable, I thought it might be appropriate for him to be here this morning.
Very good. Well, tell us about how these numbers are, because we were not seeing phenomenal growth for the past year or so, and so we're back up again.
Right. Gary, I'll let you address that. You have all the numbers, I think.
Sure. 3 years ago, it started to slow down as far as our growth was concerned. Last year, we had an interesting uptick in it, and then this year, I had projected to grow about up to 7,185 students. Well, we're already 40 over that, plus our pre-K. The way the state calculates funding, they don't count pre-K in it. Pre-K is handled through other means, through grants and things. So we're up to about 7,600 total students now, which is over 200 more than what we ended with last year.
Now, how does that compare? When we were in our era of a boom stage, so to speak, and we were seeing phenomenal growth, are we back to that point?
We're getting close. At one point, the district grew between 300 and 400 students, and that was back in the heyday of the growth, probably back about 6 or 7 years ago. And then it slowed down, and then, as you know, through the recession, it's really slowed down quite a bit. But last year, it wasn't much construction going on in the city, but it was people moving back into what was the available inventory of housing. And that was a good sign for us. That meant the community was healthy and it was reestablishing itself.
Does this seem to be pretty much over the entire city, or is the growth in one general area?
Well, now the new construction growth is really the impact area, and that is the area around Scales Elementary School and Kaysen Lane, which is the west side of the city. And we are also starting to experience some growth up on the north side of the town. So it, those main two areas is where the growth is.
And so those are the areas where you're going to have to focus on where do you put the kids?
Right. We're at over capacity right now as far as the building design, the ideal building design capacity for Scales. And Kaysen Lane is approaching those numbers as well. So that's the side of town we've really got to focus on, because we know that there has already been approved over 800 areas for houses to come in, 800 new lots. They have not pulled permits, but they've been approved already.
Now, over at the Scales area, I guess that's what the city would call the densest populated area. There are more apartments and condos and things of that sort there.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And we are experiencing the greatest growth there now because of that.
And so what kind of challenge does this do for you?
Well, it really makes us utilize our buildings to the absolute fullest and beyond. At Scales this year, we had to put in the equivalent of 4 classrooms for portables so we could handle the growth for this year and next year before we can get a new school online. The City Council approved a new school as far as the funding goes for it at the council meeting a week ago Thursday, which now means we have to go find a piece of property and get ready to build another school on the west side of town.
Dr. Gilbert, I know this is a challenge for you because in addition to the school structure, you have to have all of the other associated parts to that, teachers and staff members and what have you.
Right. And we're also seeing one thing that we did this year is the council graciously gave us funding for adding on to Hobgood. So we have seen great growth there. And even with those classrooms we've added at Hobgood, we're seeing that school full. I think that has to do with just the success of that particular school. So Pittard is also at maximum, and Gary has been working very hard with them to find spots, but not quite as crowded as Scales.
Mm-hmm. So what are you feeling as if you're going to be able to handle this successfully, or is this going to be a real challenge for you?
Well, I think the board has been very supportive and the council has been very supportive. They understand that our purpose is to educate children, and they also understand that we've been very fiscally responsible with the taxpayers' money. And so I think that's very helpful when you have to go to people. I find that in this community, if you just tell the truth and what your needs are and you don't exaggerate and have a lot of fluff, then people understand that. And we have really made that a practice, is being very transparent with our funding, where our funding goes. And I think that's helped. And I think that with our improving the quality of instruction, with our focus on the whole child, really centering on children, being partners with the community, I think that the community has been very supportive of what we have done, and I'm very grateful for that. But Gary has had some challenges the last month or so with students showing up that we really didn't expect to be there. So I just really want to thank our instruction staff and our personnel and support services staffs for what they have done. As you probably know, we recently dipped into fund balance. The board supported our going into fund balance to purchase some buses. So we're in the process of getting those online. And we've seen a tremendous increase in ridership this year. Where are we, Gary? Over 1,000 students now that are increased? Or
yes, last year we had 2,300 students who rode the school bus. This year we've already received applications to ride and requests for driving up over 3,300. So
wow.
We've gone up 1,000 students who now want to ride the bus. And with a growth of 200, you can see that's 5 times the amount of growth is now want to be utilizing our transportation department.
And we had been very close to projecting where we would be. Every year we are very close. We did not expect the ridership. Now, there's quite a process, and Gary may want to go into that, of bringing buses online, because obviously there has to be the purchase of the buses, you have to find the buses, you have to have the inspection, you have to hire the drivers. So it just kind of worked for us this year that we were able to have buses that were available for us to purchase and also drivers. So we're very grateful for that, and I think we're looking at bringing those additional buses online this week, I believe.
Yes, we anticipate having them. What we're waiting on now, the bus is already here in town, and we're waiting on the state inspectors to go by. They cannot put a bus out on the road until it's been officially inspected by the state.
Okay, and different from the county system, you own your buses as opposed to hiring drivers who own their buses.
That is correct. We own our own transportation department buses, and we hire the drivers to execute our transportation plan.
Dr. Gilbert, you know, I always am fascinated with the projections that were made, I guess, a decade or so ago, that Rutherford County was growing so quickly that within so many years it would be larger than Hamilton County, which is Chattanooga. And one way to, I guess, sort of measure that is the size of our school system. And with the city schools' phenomenal growth, do you have any idea what the county's doing? And then when you put them together, have we surpassed Hamilton County?
Well, as far as the together, I'm not sure. I do know that I talked to Don last week, and I just want to tell you what a pleasure it is to work with Don Odom. Obviously, it was a pleasure to work with his predecessor, too, but I do think that the county board made a wise choice in Don. He certainly has the educational background, the instructional background, and the knowledge of the district to carry on that system, and it is a great system. I was talking with Don, and I'm almost afraid to give out numbers, but I think they're looking at 1,100, 1,200 new students this year too, so they are almost back to what they were seeing too. So you are looking. We're right now. Gary, do you have numbers on the county and city?
No, I don't keep up with the county's numbers. We do look at the overall growth. We represent as the city schools about 15% of the total students within the county, total county and city added together. So we're about 15% of that total.
And we're at about
7,600.
Okay.
Okay, so if we haven't passed Hamilton County, we're up there neck and neck.
Yeah, I think that a lot of folks assume that we are a relatively small school system because we're a city system, but when you compare us to other systems across the state, we really aren't. And so if you combine us together, then it does become a huge, really a huge number of students that impact.
A lot of people don't realize that our city system is larger than the average school system in the state of Tennessee because you have so many small counties and small city systems. So we are considered fairly large.
How are we coming in our testing to compare us to other states and other counties?
I think that what the state has done as far as reform, I think many things have been very positive. I think the focus on instruction has certainly helped that. I'm not going to say that the evaluation system has necessarily helped improve test scores and student learning. I will say that it has definitely created a focus on instruction and the rubric that is being used for evaluation. I think that most people would agree that that rubric is an excellent rubric as far as giving you ideas of what good instruction should look like. As you know, the county and city both have increased their test scores. I was very pleased with ours, and I know that that's what folks focus on, but I've also been pleased with what we've been able to do with other things too. I think that our system, I believe, was the top in the Middle Tennessee area for reading, and I think that's attributable to what we have done with the reading program the last couple of years. Carissa Brooks came on board 2 years ago, and we implemented really a complete approach to reading, but we also implemented professional learning communities, and we implemented intervention. And what happens with intervention is our teachers, because we now have a master schedule and all teachers at a grade level have the same planning time, that allows them at least one day a week where they are totally focused on instruction as far as their planning time. They get together, they plan their units, they look at children, they say, here's what we need, here's what we think. We have all the knowledge within our school, or we need to talk to the district, or we need to go beyond. And then once a month, our principals sit down and our assistant principals sit down with each grade level, and including in that particular grade level would be your social worker, your psychologist, your counselor, anyone who touches that child and works with that child, and they talk about the children, and they go one by one and they say, oh, here's what we're seeing instructionally, which means then that we're having benchmark tests that follow that child. Here's what we're seeing instructionally. Here's where we need to go with this. And then what happens is every day in the schools there is an intervention period, usually about 45 minutes, where the children receive instruction at their level on the particular skills that they need. Now, that is separate and apart from our regular core instruction, our 90 minutes of reading, or an hour of math. And so I think that really has been what's made the difference as far as our gains. But there's no doubt that our teachers and our principals and our administrators and all of our support staff are very focused on student learning. And it's been amazing to watch this district really recreate the culture and be very intentional and very purposeful in what we're doing for children. I just can't say enough about our teachers, about the support that we receive from the school board and what's happening with our schools. It's pretty amazing to walk through a school and see the focus that is there on those children. And I really appreciate the work that's gone on in the district, and I'm very pleased of what we're seeing that's been reflected in our test scores.
You're really seeing a lot of changes. I mean, we're talking about growth. We're talking about phenomenal growth. We're talking about changes in academics. And also, there is a new universal breakfast program.
Right.
Is that
very excited about that. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that, Bart. So that's one reason that I want Gary to talk about that a little bit. But when you look at the research, there is no doubt that the Universal Breakfast Program will help children. And that's what we're about, is helping children. Now, it's kind of interesting whenever you start something new, you get your pros and your cons. So I've had seen some things in the media where folks have misunderstood the program, how it's funded, and what it looks like. But on the other hand, I was in one of our schools, and this was a parent who certainly was not a parent of a free and reduced child. And she said to me, she stopped me, and she said, I just want to thank you for the Universal Breakfast Program, because it's really helped our family and it's helped our children as far as having a much more calm time at home before we go to school. And so it's been a very positive thing. And Gary, would you talk a little bit about that, about how that works, where the funding comes from, and what that looks like in the schools?
Sure. The Universal Free Breakfast Program is established by the USDA as an opportunity to get kids best prepared for the morning to get ready to learn. We've instituted it through our school nutrition program, and a lot of people don't understand that school nutrition does not receive any locally funded money in their operating budget. This is no taxpayer money in this. This thing has to function on its own. What we receive from the government is the reimbursement rate for the breakfast program, and every school in the nation receives a certain amount of funding for free, reduced, or full paid students to provide the school nutrition needs of every child. We put this program in place to make sure that every child is ready to learn every day. It has really helped the kids be prepared to learn, and when we open up the doors in the morning, they line up and come on in there to get their breakfast now. So we've run into some things where we now make sure our buses get there at a certain time to give the kids enough time to eat, and we're really working on tweaking all those schedules. But so far, our breakfast program has increased participation in that, and we, of course, hope to see the additional gains in academics for the students and their preparedness every day.
When do you think you'll be able to really measure some results there?
We are measuring the results every day as far as participation. Now, on test score data and stuff, I'd leave that to the expert, the guru of academics over to my left.
Lots of gurus here today.
That's the nicest thing you said about me. I think that we'll see some differences. We benchmark. We have different benchmarks. We have Ames Web testing that we do, and we also have what's called Discovery Ed testing. Of course, the end-of-the-year tests, but really we look at those end-of-the-year TCAP tests almost as an autopsy, because you've done what you've done. So our goal is to make sure that we catch children along the way so that they do not fail, so that we do not allow them to fail. And so I think that we'll be looking at our children and seeing our different subgroups and seeing what the impact would be. But I think it'll be interesting to track this and to see what happens with the children that are participating in the breakfast program and see if it makes a difference.
Today we're focusing on the Murfreesboro City Schools. We're looking at the infrastructure. We're also looking at testing and things of that sort, the total picture, and a growth year. A phenomenal growth year. Looks like we're getting back to where we were 3 or 4 years ago. We'll be back and continue the conversation. Dr. Linda Gilbert, the director of the schools, is with us this morning, along with Gary Anderson, who's working on the infrastructure, and we'll be taking your phone calls. This is the segment where we open the phone lines. If you have a question dealing with the Murfreesboro City Schools, dial quickly. 893-1450. The lines open right now. 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Out of the back you fall in time. Somehow find you and I collide.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Ford of Murfreesboro has just been named the number one Shelby Cobra dealership in the United States. Test drive the Shelby Cobra that has the all-new supercharged 5.8-liter V8. Ford of Murfreesboro was also named the number three dealer in the U.S. for selling the Mustang Roush. Come test drive and take home a new 540-horsepower Stage 3 Mustang from Roush today. Ford of Murfreesboro, your Roush and Cobra headquarters. On Broad at Northfield Boulevard and online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407 on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning once again. Still dealing with that accident at MTSU Boulevard at Greenland Drive. Also, DeJarnett at Alexander. That's in the clearing stages. Traffic easing just a bit. 04 Parkway at Chaffin Place. 04 Parkway at Kaysen Lane. I-24 at 96. Traffic easing there. Also, I-24 at 231. Traffic easing for us this morning. Free at Last Bonding is a proud member of the Tennessee Association of Professional Bail Agents. Call 242-FREE. That's 242-3733. Or go online to freeatlastbonding.com. I'm Randy Ryan with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Lots of sunshine for the forecast area today. Our highs are going to be in the low 90s. We'll have a light east-northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Currently 73.
This is Linda Hembry at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We love to get to know all of our customers, not just by their faces, but also by their names. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, Mercury Boulevard. Member FDIC.
From the tallest tower in the city limits of Murfreesboro to every radio in the land, WGNS AM FM is everywhere you need us to be.
Talk about it.
Welcome back. 893-1450. The line's open now. 893-1450. We're in the segment where we talk with you about issues dealing with the Murfreesboro City Schools. 893-1450. Get on the line quickly. The director of the school systems, Dr. Linda Gilbert, is with us, along with Gary Anderson, who's working on the infrastructure. And let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
When the school bus is stopped on school property with the flashing red light out and children are getting off or on, are cars supposed to pass the school bus?
If the bus is right at the curb, right there, is delivering the children where there is no room for a car to go between the bus door and the front entrance, then it's okay if they're passed on the left-hand side. The idea is to have the children right there at the curb so no one can get between them and the school itself.
So it is okay?
It's okay if they're on the outside line. We ask them to move very slowly through that area because you never know if a child's going to dart one way or the other. But we have actually tried to separate bus delivery areas from car delivery areas, and we keep working on that. And in our new school plan, of course, that'll happen, and we're working at improving it at some other schools.
Okay. Okay. And when children get to school late, how does the breakfast work?
When children get to school late, and it really depends on how late they're actually there, but schools are instructed to provide the breakfast for the children. We have some schools that actually send the child down to the cafeteria if they're a few minutes late to go get it and take it back to the classroom. Every school handles that slightly different as far as the lateness goes because, of course, depending on the school size, depending on how kids get about in the building.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. That opens the line for you at 893-1450. We're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually calling about the school buses as well. I have children and grandchildren that have already gone through the school system, but I'm still concerned. And I have an idea, but I don't have a way that I can see that it would work. I would like to see either a traveling school bus or each school have an assigned school bus that's out of service, and have that school bus be used as a classroom and make it mandatory for each of the children that are attending school to go on board that bus and be taught bus etiquette, how to evacuate a bus in case of an accident, and maybe have the teachers work up a plan for good citizenship on the bus. And like, as I said, I don't know how all of this would work, but I just think that some of the school buses that are out of service might be donated back into the school system, and each school be assigned a bus for just that purpose, or have a traveling school bus. And I'd just like to know what they think about that.
That's a great idea. What we do is provide training opportunities for every school where we have our bus drivers go out and actually conduct evacuation tests from the bus and show them how to get off the bus rapidly, to talk about etiquette on the bus, and we make that available. It's kind of like a traveling roadshow to every school. When they schedule and how they schedule is up to each individual principal, but we do have that opportunity. As far as the older buses, once they're out of service under state law, we cannot use them to transport the children, so we really don't want the asset, a bus that's completely used up for our purposes, to be sitting at a campus like that. So we do have the actual buses that the kids will ride in, because the newer buses have newer things to them. The buses that we retire are over 15 years old, so the new buses are really geared up better for the evacuation process, and all the cameras, we can show them where the cameras are, we can talk about the sound systems. And so we do that traveling roadshow, and again, it's up to each school to schedule how they want to handle that.
But for the purpose of citizenship, because you hear about so many, the younger children have to ride the buses with the older ones, and I really would like, personally, I would like to know that an educator is actually driving the school bus, but I know that's probably, not possible. But I think that lesson plans, I think that's a good learning opportunity. The time that they're on the bus, the traveling, maybe they could have a course. Or I just think that something could be developed for that time to wind them down so that they have a good experience from school to home, and they go home maybe happier, as opposed to being bullied on the bus or, I don't want to say there's not any supervision, because I do know that you do provide supervision, but constructed maybe in a more positive way, and somehow to work up a lesson plan so that the parents would understand, what's going on that bus from the time they leave the school or from the time they leave the house to school. So, and I don't know if that's possible. Maybe it's already being done. I just hear so many stories about bullying on the buses, and I don't know if that can be possible or not.
We take the bullying extremely seriously, and we do check into every allegation of that happening. But it's kind of like you pull back the curtain and looked at what we're doing, because our transportation supervisor used to be a classroom teacher, and she has got mentoring programs going on with books on the bus for older children to read to younger children, and we are trying everything we can to keep the children entertained on the bus. Now, the bus rides average, a child may be on the bus no more than 3 or 4 minutes, or they may be on the bus 20 minutes. So kind of having a set lesson plan is kind of difficult when they're getting on and off constantly. But you have a great idea as far as how we go about keeping the kids busy or entertained. And we do have reading. We do have some bus assistants who go through and do songs with the kids, who do little games with them. And so we are trying everything we can to keep the children entertained during that time so that they are focused on the right things.
And I want to change Gary's words from entertained to learning, because we have been working on that. It's really interesting to ride the buses, because each of our buses, when you talk about safety, there are a lot of little things you can do, and I don't have a long list, and Gary may be able to think of some more, but I know one of the things that we do is each of our buses has a little animal or something on the side, so the children do not have to just know the number, but they can look at their bus and know it's their bus by by the animal that's on the bus. And unless I'm mistaken, in each bus there actually are assigned seats for the students with their names above those seats so that they know exactly where to go when they get on in the morning, so that there's not, I can remember when I was going to school, and my dad was a bus driver, but I can remember when I was going to school, you always had to look for that seat, and sometimes people might not want you to sit beside them. So there's not an issue with their buses. I think that the one thing about education is the more orderliness you can have, the more structure you can have, it really creates a non-threatening learning environment. And we think of non-threatening as being physically non-threatening, but really the mental and emotional non-threatening environment is just as crucial. So there are some things that we have done on our buses, and Gary's right, we were able to partner with Read to Succeed and with some other organizations, and we've been able to get books for our children. And so we have our older children reading to our younger children. We do have an aide on, I guess, almost all of our buses now, Gary, right? And so that helps. So in addition to the bus driver, so there are some things that we have done, but certainly we appreciate any and all advice that we can get and suggestions we can get, because safety is a critical issue when you're responsible for 7,400 to 7,600 children.
Let's go back to the phones. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yeah, I heard about two tillers for sale. Could you tell me that number?
I tell you, I don't have that information right now, and I'm not sure how that fits in with the Murfreesboro City Schools. So call us after the program, and we'll get that for you.
Well, now, Bart, I'll tell you, if he's wanting tillers, though, that does fit in. Okay. Watch this segue of this teacher here.
You have one. You
have a segue for you. No, but we are doing some gardening.
I was looking for a segue.
We're doing some gardening. We have, in two of our schools last year at Bradley and Mitchell Nelson, we partnered with Parks and Rec and MTSU with what's called the Fun Project. And so we began gardens there. That will be expanded this year. And in addition to that, we also have Greg Lyles, who's been partnering with Key United Methodist Church, and they actually started a community garden. So I think you'll see this year our expansion of our gardening program. I think it's really important for children. Give you an example. I know Peggy Courier, who's a phenomenal teacher at the primary school, I think it was cantaloupes, I believe, that they were raising, and they saw this perfect cantaloupe, and she had, because we're interested in children being able to think, that's sort of critical, and she had them estimate what they would see inside, and so they expected the cantaloupe on the outside that was perfect to be perfect inside. With another cantaloupe, it didn't look quite as good, and so they predicted that one would be really yucky inside. Well, as it turns out, the first cantaloupe that was the perfect cantaloupe on the outside, when they cut it open, there was a moth inside, and actually the cantaloupe was ruined. And so it's kind of fascinating what children can learn with what we call experiential learning or hands-on learning. So when the gentleman mentioned tillers, I had to bring up the gardening program because it's something I'm really proud of, and I think it's neat, and I think it's something we'll see expanded. We're also working with the farmers market with some of our families in our housing projects to get them to the farmers market with hopefully the cooperation of Rover, but we are working with the vans that the housing authority has provided us. And so our families, some of our parents, will be going over the farmers market, and then the UT Extension will be teaching them some cooking lessons. So I'll stop now, but I could go on. But
this is exciting, I tell you.
But we're pretty excited about what's happening. We have been very focused on the classroom, very focused with our teachers and working with them, but we also have our community partners that are just doing amazing work for us and our faith-based organizations, and so we just are very thankful. So thanks for mentioning the tillers, whoever called in.
And call us back, and we do have those numbers for you. Murfreesboro City School Director Dr. Linda Gilbert is with us this morning, along with Gary Anderson, who's in charge of the infrastructure of the city schools, and we'll be back and take more calls in just a moment. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. You need to get your pencils handy, because there's some dates you want to jot down, one of those being a fashion show coming up. We'll tell you about that. in just a moment.
If you have an iPhone or use an Android, we have an app for both. WGNS AM and FM is everywhere you need us to be, on air and on demand.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
Want a greener, longer-lasting grass? Try 5-Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed and grow a lush, green lawn. 5-Star Fescue is a top-performing, long-lasting, cool-season grass that is time-tested for color and growing conditions in the South. If you have had trouble growing a lush, green lawn because of shade, drought, or the wrong grass, then 5-Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed is your answer.
Pick some up today at Martin's Home and Garden on Broad Street across from Demas's and ask for Joshua.
Lots of sunshine for the forecast area today. Our highs are going to be in the low 90s. We'll have a light east-northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently 73.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Look up in the sky. There it is. The tallest tower in Murfreesboro. This is WGNS, FM, AM, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Ah, music that sort of reminds me of riding a school bus.
Or teaching music. Some of us did at some point in the past. I ran into somebody.
You did a great job.
Oh, well, thanks.
I can remember the Christmas
parades. I
can
do that. This I don't know about. That I can do. I ran into somebody from MTSU this weekend at the Back to School Blast, which was just phenomenal. And I do need to talk about that. And he said, "What are you thinking?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's about the kids." We had a, before you get a chance to ask a question, I want to make a comment. We had a terrific back to school blast this Saturday. It was great. It was a little warm, but that's okay. And Greg Lyles was responsible for driving. We have a little school bus. It was actually Gary's idea that we have a gentleman, Mr. Ernest, that just does phenomenal woodwork. And so we have a little bus that we actually use at Franklin Heights. It's pulled by a golf cart for the children. We have now about 70, by the way, that are receiving tutoring in the afternoon at the Family Learning and Resource Center over there. And so that little bus will have the kids in it, taking them back to their apartments at night. But it was neat because that was going all around Cannonsburg, and it was a great partnership with Cannonsburg. And we had all of our community partners out that were handing out information. The Apple was there, and it was just a great day. So I really appreciate everybody that participated in that. And we do have a fashion show. You mentioned fashion show, and this one is different. This is the foundation, the City Schools Foundation, and they just are tremendous support for us. Their function is to support the city schools, particularly in the area, the STEM areas, the science and technology and engineering and mathematics. But we will be having a fashion show on the 13th of September. It will be from 5:30 until 7:30 at Stones River Country Club. It's going to be very different this year than it has been in the past. We've had tables in the past, but this is going to be a runway show. I don't know if I can stay on this or not, but it'll be a runway show, and the clothing will be from the Avenue, from Coldwater Creek and Chico's and Neal and Altered States and White House Black and Black Market and Belk's and Francesca's. So it's going to be a really neat evening for ladies and for young ladies and for men if they want to come. And the cost is $35. And if they'll just call the City Schools office at 893-2313 and ask for Leslie Etherly or Lisa Trail, they can find out information. But it's going to be a great evening, and so we invite everyone out on the 13th from 5:30 until 6:30 at the Stones River Country Club.
Okay, September 13th at the Stones River Country Club,
right.
893-2313.
Right, and we appreciate our sponsors. We have several Bell Jewelers, Middle Tennessee Medical, David LaRoche, GoCo Aesthetics, and MetaSpa. So those sponsors will have tables, and you can certainly purchase something there. But it will be great, great fun. So come out and support the City Schools Foundation.
Circle that date on your calendar, September the 13th.
Right.
Well, tell us a little more. One of the other things that we had down to cover were some of the goals for this year.
Okay. We obviously will be looking at a new school, which is going to be huge for us to do. But we want to refocus on our professional learning community's work. We are a pilot for our English Language Arts Common Core. And what that looks like is our state, the reason that we, and you'll hear about Common Core, it really is the big push now and has been for a year or so. But the reason for that is Tennessee realizes that it must have its students more prepared for college and career readiness. And so to do that, we need to go deeper into our learning. Our students need to be able to think. They need to be prepared for college, for careers. And so you're going to see a shift in reading and language arts. If you think about how much literature we read in high school, but yet in our work, we read technical work, we read nonfiction, and we have to pull from that information to write papers or to make decisions. And so that really is where Common Core is going. So instead of just having an idea and the children writing about it for an assessment, what they will do is they will read a fairly long nonfiction passage. They may have to summarize it, or they may have to read that passage and two or three other passages and compare them and then really look into the text for their answer. So if you think about what the shifts will be, really it will be a shift of content-rich nonfiction and informational text. And then we will be looking at the writing, having evidence of what's being said and what the children are writing in the text itself. And then also practice with the idea of complete text and using academic vocabulary. So that will be quite a shift in our reading language arts that our schools will be going through over the next few years. So that's there now that we are starting. And then the entire state, of course, is doing Common Core Math, where our children are learning the process of math, not so much 2 plus 2, but why 2 plus 2 and what can you do with that and how can you apply that. And I think that's really important, Bart. I think that for a long time Tennessee has had every standard in the world, and now we're saying, no, here's what's important, and it's important for our children to be able to think, and it's important for them to go deeper into the instruction. And I think that's just critical. So that we're in the throes of that as a state and as a district, and we'll be having a lot of training with that. So that's certainly one of the big initiatives. We also will be looking at science, and we are looking at another thing we're looking at is our gifted students. We're partnering with Vanderbilt on that, and we'll be having some professional development there, partnering with MTSU as far as our science program. So those are a few things that we'll be looking at. One more that I'll mention will be special ed and regular ed. We want there to be a seamless transition between those two. We want to take a look and make sure that we're not over-identifying students, that we're doing everything that we can in intervention to make sure that they are not in special ed programs when they don't have to be.
Let's take one more call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dr. Linda Gilbert along with Gary Anderson. How are you today?
Yeah, I must have missed that part where the gentleman said that there was no taxpayers' money used for that program. It'd have to come from the federal government or somewhere. And also, you was talking about what a surprise the extra students you had. I would think you'd have some kind of program a month or two before to pre-register so you would know. And also, I think it's pretty sad that y'all decided to start feeding all the kids here in Murfreesboro breakfast like that, because the government taxes my Social Security, and nobody paid for my breakfast or my son's breakfast. I paid for it. Obviously, these people latch on to that because there's so many of them still on welfare and food stamps that I guess they learn it in school. I'll hang up and listen.
Our job in Murfreesboro City Schools is to prepare children for the future and for us to do everything that we possibly can working with that whole child. You are correct. It is a federal program as far as the free or reduced lunch. As far as what we're doing in the city, I'd be more than happy to talk with you about what we're doing and the why. I think it's really important that we understand the why of programs, or otherwise there's no need to use them, but we are going to look at every individual child, and we're going to do everything that we can possibly do for that individual child to prepare them for the future, and certainly would be happy to talk with anyone about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I do appreciate your call.
And on that note, we're going to say thank you both for taking time to join us this morning. Visiting with us this morning to talk about the Murfreesboro City Schools, the director of the schools, Dr. Linda Gilbert, along with Gary Anderson, talking about the infrastructure. A record year for growth. Looks like we're getting back to the way we were, which would maybe be even a song. Linda, thank you for joining us today.
Try to pin that one for us, Mark.
Gary, you have a
thank
great
you.
Day.
Thank you, everyone out there.
Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department.
Didn't steal your laughter. It came to visit me, but I knew it wasn't ever after.